You're listening to Joey Ritter Live at joeyritter.com. Also on Twitter at Joey Ritter.
All right, joeyritter.com on Twitter at Joey Ritter. Folks, he is back. Tony Hartman, it is great to have you. There we are. You are, what is that, a lime or a lemon? I couldn't see. It was too quick.
It's a lemon.
It's a lemon?
Yep.
What are you making, lemon meringue pie, or what are you doing there?
I wish I could do that. Actually, every morning and sometimes at night, I have like a lukewarm glass of water with lemon in it.
Uh-huh.
It's a good way to start your day.
Very good way.
End it. Check it out.
I will. You know, lemon's also a good thing to freshen your breath. People don't think about that. But if you have bad breath and you cut a lemon up and then you just, you know, suck on it for a while, your breath is nice and citrusy and fresh.
Oh, I think about that. That's part of the reason I do it, for sure, every day.
All right. Well, Tony, it's good to have you back. It's been way too long. Your last appearance was December.
That's right. I just moved in to this apartment here, I think. And I remember my big concern then was that there's an airport, like, 2 miles north
uh-huh.
of here, like in Burbank. And so planes would fly over and like sometimes actually like shake the house a little bit, which is great for the price of rent, keeps rent down.
Right.
But for stuff like this, but I don't think we had problems last time, so we should be okay.
Yeah, we'll be good. Do you ever do like a Wayne's World thing where you sit outside of your house and lay on the car and watch the planes go by?
Actually, I watched Wayne's World for the first time in a long time a couple weeks ago, and I definitely thought about doing it. We're not that close, but we're close enough to like really close areas that you could do that for sure.
Do you think Wayne's World stands the test of time?
Absolutely. Actually, that was part of the reason why I rewatched it, was to make sure it was as good as I remembered, but absolutely, yeah, it's so good.
Nice. All right, that's the puppy's appearance. But so I guess what, a month ago, your boy LeBron James won another NBA final.
He did, indeed. Yes.
I don't get you, Cleveland people, are excited about this. I don't understand why you're still a fan of the guy like he plays for the Cavaliers.
Well, I know you brought this up with Dave also too, and I pretty much have the same response to that. I am a Cavs fan. I'm a big Cavs fan, but maybe this isn't like a thing with Philadelphia sports, but when you have a local guy like LeBron James, who is from Akron, which is actually more local to where I grew up and a little bit where Dave grew up, I mean, it's really cool to have someone who's the best in the world at a sport or whatever, like, be from so local to you. And like, we're around the same age. I've been following him since we were like 16. He would have to screw up a lot more than he has for me to ever root against him unless he's playing the Cavs,
uh-huh.
I would say. And I think he's going to go back to the Cavs. I'll go on record and say I know he will retire a Cavalier, and I think it could happen sooner than later. Not the retirement, but him going back to Cleveland.
Where is he at? Because I don't follow the NBA at all. Where is he at in his career? Is he, you know, in the prime of his career?
Yeah.
Is he older, younger?
He's so good at this point. He's 28. So, that's prime for basketball. He's 28, and he's so good at this point that the NBA 2K14 that's coming out, he's so good and so highly rated that, like, the game can't contain him. That's not an exaggeration. He's just too good, like, to be, like, accurate on the game. It's pretty ridiculous.
You know, I interviewed a ex-Flyer a couple weeks ago, and I tried to, you know, bring up Sega Genesis in the early 90s. That must have been so cool, you know, to see yourself in NHLPA 93, and yeah, I don't quite remember his response, but I remember him not really being that excited about it. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's to see your rating. Go ahead.
Yeah, like think about being on a video game. Was it Ron Hextall? Is that who you interviewed?
No, but he played with Ron Hextall. It was
okay.
Brian
right.
Propp. Yeah, he was a big scorer on the Flyers in the 80s. But I think, you know, he was on, like, the Minnesota North Stars in 92, 93, when it came out. And to me, that was the earliest where they used real players and the ratings of each team and, yeah, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess if you weren't sweet, it'd be kind of disheartening to be on a video game. But no, I think that'd be amazing. And I think, speaking of NHL games, I don't know if we've discussed this, but NHL 98 for PlayStation is my favorite video game probably of all time.
See, I was out of it by that point because PlayStation, I'm one of those knuckleheads that say the buttons on the controllers were just too out of hand, and I just didn't care about video games enough to keep up with the buttons. The Sega Genesis 3-button ABC, that was the most I could go. Even the Super Nintendo with the YX buttons at the top would annoy me.
Okay, I feel you on that more than I feel you on your iguana hatred. If I ever run against you for political office, I don't know how that happened, to be like, Joey Ritter hates iguanas. Doesn't care for PlayStation controllers.
I don't want to really get into this, but since you're a comedy guy and you write comedy, I actually wrote material to go up for an open mic. Humphreys?
Yep.
I'm kind of glad he's interrupting this story because it's not that great of a story. But anyway, I wrote 5 minutes of stand-up, and it all had to do with my iguana and, you know, what would happen if I brought the iguana out and put it on the stool and just sawed it in half and threw it in the audience. That was pretty much the joke. And, I never got caught up to do.
Well, that's not a joke at all. That's more just like something really messed up that you think about. But it's funny. I think you should build on that for sure.
I think you just want to see me do it just to see the results.
Yeah.
Have you ever done stand up?
I've done like improv stuff. And when Chris and I released Whistle Pig, we actually did. I don't know if you know this. We did some live shows where we would do like live readings, but we had like skits kind of in between, right. And it was a lot of fun. And then I did the same thing with Whistle Pig at my college one time, and it went really well. And that was like my first, I guess, like solo show. Uh-huh. But I've written a lot of stand-up, but I haven't really gotten a chance to do it. And plus, whenever I write that, I feel like I'm trying too hard to write stand-up. Like, it's too like format-y and everything, and like. I'm writing with a friend of mine who I feel like is a much more.
Wait, is that an airplane?
It is. You hear it?
Yes, that's cool though. Right. I like it. It's good. It's good background. Stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's it. I think I'd rather write for people that like are a little more stand-up-y, like guys you picture doing stand-up comedy. I don't know, but I love comedy, and I love like people that are really good at stand-up comedy. I haven't really ventured into it. If I'm going to do it, I got to stop being a wuss and do it, though, for sure.
I don't know if I ever will, but I feel like you should. Now, you brought up something. I actually have this on my note sheet here about you and Chris doing the Whistle Pig, and this was what, around 2006 time period?
2009.
Okay. Actually. Well, you guys did YouTube videos around 2006, right?
Yes.
And this is when YouTube pretty much was invented.
Yes.
And I think you or him posted an old video on Facebook, and I clicked on the, and I watched some of your other videos, you know, on the sidebar, and there's one where you're talking about the statistics of your last video, and you say, mm-hmm. Yeah, we got most discussed, we were featured on the main page. That's outstanding. You know, think about that now of how giant YouTube is, and you guys were really at the forefront of that website.
We were. That's a really cool thing to bring up because, like, it's something like people I know, like here, like people I work with through like Stage It or just like, you know, like randomly I've met, like, will discover that now and just be like, dude, like, I found you in some YouTube video that had like 30,000 views and like. An hour and a half later, I'm still watching a bunch of, he's like, you guys, like you and your friend Chris had like so many views and like so many comments and stuff. And we're like, yeah, like that's back when YouTube was like nothing. We felt like the only people in the world that like used it pretty much. And we kind of were, you know, like Texas Toast, all that stuff. Like no one else was doing that. And I think part of it, like, obviously you kind of look back at that and think about like, well, what could have been, you know, if we like, would have really committed to it, but we just thought like we thought it was so funny that we were like kind of popular on there that we never stopped to think like, we should probably try to really do something with this.
Well, I mean, it was hard to predict what would happen with YouTube back then.
Yeah.
But I also remember that you guys would, and I know Chris would do this a lot, you would do video responses to popular videos, and that was a good way to get people. It was just a, you know, a 30-second response to a YouTube video that was popular, but it would get 40,000 views. It would get a ridiculous amount of views.
One of my favorites was we made a video response to, I think U2 and Green Day did a song together for, like, I don't know if it was for Hurricane Katrina or something, but, like, obviously two of the biggest bands in the world, and we made a video response, like they were just other YouTube users, like, hey, U2 and Green Day, you know, like, great work on the video, like, and people hated us so much. Like, people, either they got the joke, but there were people that were legitimately, like, so repulsed that, like, we did that, and that was one of my favorites, for sure.
Right. Quick sidebar. Who's a better TV heartthrob, Rebecca Donaldson or Kelly Kapowski?
Oh, Kelly Kapowski, easily.
And this is because of the age you were at the time, or
probably,
you know, is this 2013 Tony Hartman saying this?
Yeah, I would have said it then, and I say it now. But side note, I think it's weird calling females heartthrobs. I was just that for male hunks. But I think I liked Rebecca's personality a little better, maybe. I mean, she landed Uncle Jesse. She had to be. There had to be something really awesome about her.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they're playing, and I know you vined an episode of Full House recently. But I don't know. It seems like they're playing them a lot more. I'm just landing on Full House and sticking with it because I can't get into a new TV show. I'll watch like a random episode of Full House. I look at Rebecca Donaldson, man. She is the perfect woman. So I tried to figure out who the most perfect other female heartthrob was, and Kelly Kapowski is who I came up with. Now, if you were to compete in a eating competition, Tony, which food would you like to compete with?
An eating competition?
Yeah, like a chicken wing speed eating competition.
Okay. I don't know why I questioned what you said, because when you involve food, it's very obvious that that's what you meant. This is going to be the weirdest answer you can expect, but it would be imitation crab meat.
What?
And I love imitation crab meat, and dipped in probably roasted red pepper hummus.
I'm down with the roasted red pepper hummus, but I guess I haven't had imitation crab meat, so I can't say if it's bad or good. But
it could be real crab. I guess if we're committing, it can be real crab. But I just wanted to keep the cost low, I guess.
Are you now? Does it have to be the meat itself or inside the crab shell?
Oh no, just the meat.
Okay.
If it's a competition, I don't want to waste time like having to like the manual labor involved with like de-skinning it or anything like that.
I need to know what I mean. Did you have that a lot as a kid? Is it just something you like to eat? Or?
It's something I like to eat, and it's probably one of the weirdest things I like to eat on a semi-daily basis, I guess. I didn't eat meat for like 3 years, and then I remember I actually started again when Chris and I were writing Whistle Pig. I started back with a Sheetz buffalo chicken sub, which was amazing. But then I was like, well, I can't just go back full on to eating like crappy food all the time. So I got really into imitation crab meat, which is made with some sort of like fish, some sort of fish. I don't really I should probably know what I'm eating all the time, but
Now, okay, so you didn't eat meat for 3 years, and all of a sudden you go, you know, were you drinking? Was it no?
No.
If you're gonna go back to eating meat, why a Sheetz buffalo chicken sandwich as opposed to a nice steak or, you know, something from a nice restaurant?
I guess it was kind of driven by irony, like a lot of things can be when. It's Chris and I hanging out. Like, we were just like sitting around. I was like, let's go to Sheetz. I'm going to get a buffalo chicken sub. And he's like, yeah. And we did. And I ate it. And then we had, for dessert, I think we had Tyson chicken fingers, another delicacy, of course. But a friend of mine told me, another friend had stopped being vegetarian, and he told me the same thing. He's like, what you need to do is you need to go have a steak. And I was like, yeah, you know, I might eventually. I never really got back into red meat. I probably had like 2 steaks in the past like 5 years or something. But I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. I was like, but like, why? Just because it's so good? He's like, no. He's like, you get really high if you don't eat meat for a long time and you eat steak. I was like, I don't know. Like, that, if that is true, like, I don't trust why it's true. It's a good, I don't know if it's like a pump full of like chemicals or what, but like, that's weird. I've never heard anyone else say that, nor have I Googled it. So I don't know if that's really.
Yeah, my next question was if you Googled it.
No, I will after this, though.
You always seem to run into people that have those weird facts that you know, you seem to attract weird people that tell you all these off the wall things.
Who, me in particular?
Yeah, I mean, every time I interview you, it's always like, yeah, I ran into this guy, you know, peanut butter breath was the first. And then I know there's, if I go through the last interview, I'm pretty sure there was something you said where I was like, are you serious? Did you Google that?
It's always something. It's a blessing and a curse. But yeah, no, everybody tells, and like, I live in Los Angeles where there's a lot of weird people. And I have friends here that have grown up here, and they even say, like, dude, nobody meets weirder people or has weirder experiences than you. So you might be right.
Must be why I love having, you know, on the show. Now, I've got three random Twitter questions. I get lazier with my question writing, so I say, hey, I'm recording an interview. Please tweet me questions. So let's get through these quickly. And I Feel Fine writes, what was the worst rumor ever started about you?
Oh, that's a really good question.
That is a good question.
I want to ask at I Feel Fine if that is a Riddling Kids reference, because I think it is.
It's _I_feel_fine.
But wow,
that was too long.
Meticulous Twitter handles you can have. The worst rumor, there's not really been a bad rumor started about me. In high school, I did have an ex-girlfriend tell my parents that I was, I think, like, doing cocaine on New Year's Eve or something like that. Like, went to my parents' house to tell them that, and I was like, I don't even know what that is, really. Like, but a really funny rumor that was started about me is that one time, it was also, like, same year of high school, I left early before a couple days before prom to get a haircut, and my friend started a rumor that I got kicked out of school because I threw a rock at a construction worker, because they were doing construction, like, all the time on our school, like building it up, and it definitely, like, this is before, obviously, like, social media or even, like, texting, really, like, and all that, like, it got out, like, the next day I come back to school, like, dude, like, why would you do that? Like, why'd they let you back in? Like, I heard you dropped a rock on this guy's head and stuff like that. And obviously, it wasn't close to true whatsoever, but pretty good rumor.
Did you play along with it, or did you,
deny? Some people, I think I was just like, I don't know what to tell you, you know? Like,
this guy stepped out of line. I had to show him who was boss.
That was definitely the most Ferris Bueller, like, experience I've ever had, or closest to being Ferris Bueller I've ever felt.
Did you have a good time at your prom?
I had an average, well, it depends. Junior prom was a lot of fun. It was on a boat called the Good Time 3 in Cleveland.
That sounds great.
Senior prom was really average. Senior prom was like the Hangover 2 of proms, I would say. Like, just,
I didn't see the Hangover 2, so you have to explain that reference.
I guess that might have been a bad example, because the Hangover 2, did you see the Hangover 1?
Yes.
I thought that was a close to perfect comedy. The Hangover 2 was just the exact same formula and same, like, kind of like beats, right? And story arc, and just in a different setting. So it was like really insulting to a viewer, but I guess that's what they did. That's what big movies do nowadays.
Okay. All right. Your next question comes from Gen Z Poo, and she wants to know, would you rather listen to blaring electronic dance music or death metal for 24 hours straight?
Oh, man. That's a pretty good question. I would say, I guess, death metal, out of, like, maybe the appreciation that it'll be a little bit funnier And there might be some cool, like, instrumentation going on there, like, you know, some, like, incredible drumming or something.
Yeah, see, I'm with you because, you know, you and I have a similar music taste. But if we're talking 24 hours, I think death metal would get old quicker.
Yeah. And I guess, really, it also depends on the dance music. If it's stuff like I never cared about Daft Punk when I was a kid. I loved, like, the Spike Jonze videos and stuff like that. Like, their music was always just, like, whatever. But with that song with Pharrell singing, I not only could listen to that for 24 hours straight, I'm pretty sure I have anytime I've had the radio on in the past 2 months. I think it's literally on the radio nonstop. So
yeah, I don't think that's electronic dance music, but it is dance music. All right, Michael Clements wants to know simply, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
I actually have a new one. I got in the fridge or the freezer right now. If it was in the fridge, it'd be melting. It's coconut milk, chocolate coconut milk ice cream from Trader Joe's. And it's amazing. It has like the perfect taste and a really good aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with chocolate chip cookie dough on that one.
That's old school. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're a big fan of the Olive Garden? You've tweeted pro Olive Garden tweets.
I am, yeah. I think people are really unfair on Olive Garden.
I completely agree with you.
I think it's pretentious when people are like that about Olive Garden. I've never had anything but great service there. It's a little pricey, I guess, for what it is, but don't go every week.
I don't think it's pricey at all. I think you know, it's half the price of an Italian restaurant in the city or something.
That's probably, I guess, like, and this might also be why I like Olive Garden so much. I'm not a huge Italian food fan.
Okay.
And I really kind of only go to Olive Garden when I do have it. But, yeah, man, there's one over in Burbank, and we go there every so often. And it's always, like, the best experience. Like, great waiters, I got nothing but love for the garden.
I'm so with you on that. Now, I try to be very vocal about this to anybody that will listen. Now, I have a very Italian family that, you know, cooks gravy from scratch. And, you know, I always have great Italian meals. There's a lot of good restaurants by me. And I take my wife out to those nice Italian restaurants. But at the same time, Olive Garden, there's nothing wrong with Olive Garden food. If you were to take that same exact food and put that in some trendy, you know, Italian restaurant in Old City in Philadelphia, nobody would know the difference. Exactly. But because it's Olive Garden, people have to bat an eyelash at it.
Yep, completely agree.
Although, go ahead.
I would say, building on that point, I'm also a huge Chipotle fan and supporter. And I know some guys here that say, like, oh, Chipotle's the worst. It's not real Mexican food. Like, whatever. But my fiance, who is, like, 100% Mexican-American, loves Chipotle. Like, you know what you're getting. Right. Like, just don't be pretentious about it. Just enjoy some good food.
Seriously. There's too many. I feel like, I don't know if it's, like, Twitter that makes people more aware of things, experts on things, but I feel like a foodie is a term that I hear more. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but it annoys me just as much as somebody that looks down on you for drinking Miller Lite, you know, saying that that's not a real beer, and, you know, some kind of local brew is their favorite beer. I'm tired of hearing about it.
I agree with that. Yeah, like the gastropub scene, I was huge. Like, my friends in Cleveland and, like, Northeast Ohio, that's, like, a big thing to do, is, like, to go out and get these, like, fancy beers and stuff. And it's, like, the end result is, you know, the first few sips are going to taste special and good, and then you're probably going to end up kind of drunk and feeling kind of crappy the next day. So it's, like, I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish. Just have some Olive Garden.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I had one little note here. I had to tell you, you know, I could have easily have emailed this to you, but you tweeted a while ago something about your neighbor baby talking to her cats at 7 a.m. Yeah. Now, I responded to that, and I said something about you got to talk to them like they're an adult, and I don't know, I don't know if you responded to that, but I completely read that tweet wrong. I thought she was baby talking to a baby.
Oh Lord, no, yeah. No, cats, like it's awful. Like I'm so sure that there's no way she'll see this. Like I will say, she's like that. The worst part of my day is hearing her talk to her cats in the morning and at night when it's time to.
It's you possible just hear her through the walls?
No, there's like a little like small courtyard, and like they're directly across from us. And the dude's like super nice, and it's like I think husband and wife. And the dude's like super nice. He's always, you know, I think he works from home, which is a big thing here that I'm really resentful of everyone that gets to do that. But I think he works from home and never wears a shirt, which is kind of offensive because he's all ripped. I'm kind of like, come on, man. Like, you know, but at the end of the day, he still has to listen to her talking to those cats. So
if you were ripped, you know, would you walk around without a shirt?
No, I think I'd still be a very naturally cold person. Like, you know, like even when it's warm, like there's very few instances where it's just like acceptable to be completely shirtless.
Yeah. All right, Tony. Well, thanks again for coming on the show on such short notice. And I'm glad that you own the lead for most appearances. Nothing against Dave Bissell or Steve Sabosley, but you needed to be the leader on the leaderboard for that. So thanks again. And, you know, anything exciting coming up that we should mention, or just your social media handles?
A lot of stuff. I think there's a lot of exciting stuff. Trying to build, I guess, from the social media stuff and do something a little more productive with all that. I think time number 4 coming on the show, which I've told you, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It'll be the biggest event, maybe not in JoeyRitter.com history, but at least mine, for sure.
I want that exclusive. I want you to announce what that is on this show.
Okay. I'll aim to have 3 great things to announce on the show next time.
Awesome. Thanks again, Tony. How do people find you on Twitter?
Tony_Hartman. If you accidentally go to Tony Hartman with no underscore, it's a pretty messed up dude. I wish I could get that handle from him. Check it out.
All right, Tony. Have a good night.
Peace.